This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You don't need to tell me I should have a better system. Like, I could actually, in theory, print out all the copy that I need, but like, say it's my turn to have a live spot, I just do a search and find it, and sort of in like a few seconds, I should be better at organizing all of that. But saying all that, I will tell you that when it comes time to talk to Ross, what I do, I'm finding myself doing every week, is just searching Ross Tucker Mayo.
Because and that's how you get it that way.
Like if I just leave, if I don't include Mayo, then I could get, maybe I have an email about Ross. His name is in it, and that's not going to help me. I need Mayo to know this year's copy.
That combination is integral to the
Ross,
process. Yeah.
That's an association that is happening right now. On the Wester Hotline, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Hopefully you're getting, you know, mayonnaise from this, Ross. I hope.
I am not getting any mayonnaise. But I'm getting something even more valuable, which is that the company that I work for and you guys work for, Odyssey, they, I'm assuming, are getting compensated from Hellman's mayonnaise, which I'm told is delicious. And as a result, I'm getting some, I guess I'm getting some cheese out of this deal.
They pay you. Yeah, good deal. I see how this works. Now, good deal. Now
and,
I get it.
And you being here helps us get paid, too.
Yes.
What a system.
I love it. Hey,
it all works.
This is a free market economy. Everybody's got literally like thousands of more people listen at 5:03 p.m. every Tuesday, WGR. I've seen the numbers internationally on the app. And so I'm glad that everybody can win out of this deal.
Yeah, we've got a good little pyramid going here. My kids got guitar strings that I'm buying with money I get from mayonnaise. All right, I'll stop.
Let's not get political on this election day. It's very important we not do that. Okay, Ross, so Miami may have given the Bills its best punch here, but still comes up short. I want to talk about like just the dominance the Bills have shown over the Dolphins. And it's more interesting to me from the losing side, thinking about having a game like that and, you know, trudging home. Maybe this is sort of the unofficial end of their season. Then we'll talk about Tyler Bass a little bit here too, who makes the 61-yarder to win it. What are the Dolphins, like, or Tua even, like sort of the emotions here faced with another season gone by, probably, where they have not been able to figure the Bills out?
Well, that is almost a certainty, unless they somehow go on an epic run here and end up playing the Bills again in the postseason. You know, I don't know. I wonder if that's how they're looking at it after this last game, because in a sense that game really could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want to say the Bills were fortunate to win it, but really could have gone either way. And so, I don't know. I mean, there's different ways the Dolphins could take it. They could be even more defeated, that this time it was actually really close and came down to the end and they still lost. Or maybe it gives them more resolve that they can be there. They can beat this team. They're good enough to do it, and they just, unfortunately for them this time, they weren't able to get it done. What I do think on a macro level is really interesting, because nothing's been announced yet, but I'm fairly confident I'll be doing at least one Dolphins game on television relatively soon, is that, you know, they're one of nine teams, guys, with only two wins.
Yep.
It's week 10 in the NFL, and some of the teams are like the Panthers or the Patriots or the team Raiders, maybe.
Right.
Teams that people weren't really expecting to be very good this year. But then there's other teams, you know, Cleveland thought they were going to the playoffs. The Dolphins thought they were going to the playoffs. That's kind of a different deal. And I think on some level, the Dolphins could keep saying to themselves, well, when we get Tua back, Well, they got Tua back, and then they just lost two heartbreakers on game-winning field goals at the end, back-to-back. And that's the difference between 4-4 and 2-6, which is just gigantic. I mean, you know, I always felt like as a player, 500 or above, you kind of felt like you were in the mix because you knew 8-8 teams that made the playoffs. So you felt like, hey, we're in the mix here. You get to 2-6. I mean, you got to win four in a row just to get back to 500. Now, do I think the Dolphins are capable of it? Yeah, I don't think they're gonna, right? And so they're in a bad spot. I think on some level the NFL is in a bad spot, that there's this many teams and fan bases that feel like their team is totally out of it by November 5th. I mean, that's just, it never used to be like this. I mean, there'd be like two or three teams would be this bad, but most of the other teams would have three or four wins at this point and still feel like they're in the mix.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I mean, and again, like you said, some of the teams that are there, like Miami and Jacksonville, I would throw in that mix too, was probably thinking they could maybe challenge Houston at least somewhat, and they're hanging out at 2-7. What do you think the way forward is for Miami, Ross? I mean, it seems like Tua and McDaniel, like that's a very good, healthy relationship. And McDaniel gets a lot of credit, I'd say rightly so, for sort of rehabilitating Tua's confidence and like getting him to where he is now. And of course, now they've paid him. But the team success, the team building, and the fact that he, McDaniel, could not find a way to do anything without Tua. I mean, I know you're going to be compromised severely by your star quarterback being out, but you've seen other coaches at least like get by. Even LaFleur, I mean, Green Bay kind of flourished while Jordan Love was out and Malik Willis was playing. I'm not looking for flourish, but the fact that Hill and Waddle were completely non-existent during Tua's absence shines a pretty uncomplimentary light on McDaniel, I think.
No question. It's a bad look. And you can say, oh, well, they don't have a good enough backup quarterback. Well, I mean, whose fault is that? Number one. Number two, you know, Matt LaFleur had Malik Willis out here, who nobody wanted. He had him out there winning multiple games.
Right.
The Dolphins, you know, they even signed Mike White and gave him decent money. And they liked Skylar Thompson more. They thought Skylar Thompson was a better fit. And they knew he knew the system. They liked him. And none of the guys, Huntley or Boyle, none of those guys were able to move the ball very effectively at all. I guess on one hand, maybe it makes you feel better about paying Tua and having Tua as your quarterback, and it speaks to Tua being able to do a lot of positive things. On the other hand, man, I mean, it's not a good look for McDaniel at all, and I would suggest that it's probably, you know, to your point, any talk about him as like a coach of the year or whatever, that's hard to say when, you know, they're that inept without Tua. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why Stefanski won it last year, is because of what the Browns right. did with Joe Flacco, right? Like, have a backup quarterback that's competent and that you can Because even if they just won one of those games without Tua, you know, they would feel like they're in the mix a little bit. They'd feel like they actually have a chance, but they couldn't, and they didn't.
Right. They lost to Tennessee at home bad. That's not great. With Ross Tucker here on WGR. So I mentioned Tyler Bass, Ross. We've had kind of an ongoing saga with Bass. He's missed a few kicks. There was also an extra point missed in Sunday's game, but almost shockingly, because of the distance, 61 yards, franchise record, to win it at the end of the game. You know, some of the pressure comes off, I guess. I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about kickers with all this happening and just sort of what kind of coaching they get, you know, mentally, whatever it is. And I don't know. I don't think maybe you and I or with Bulldog have talked about in your playing days, just sort of like what the interaction, if that's the right word, is between, you know, the kickers and the real players, if you will. Do you have a thought on sort of like what it might be like for him just kind of going up and down and trying to dealing with, you know, just how a single miss these days can really stand out?
Well, first of all, I must say I have an appreciation for what you said, how you described it between kickers and the real players.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I must say, and that's not meant to knock kickers. I will just say to you guys, we've talked about this before. To me, it's like one of the flaws in the sport. It's one of the weirdest things ever that you have these guys that have the omnipresent threat of danger and injury running into each other about 140 times a game. And then a guy who probably played high school soccer comes on the field at the end and kicks the ball through these poles and determines who wins. Like, it's just like, to me, if we start, I always say people are like, what do you mean? It's called football. Like, that's the way it is. I'm like, okay, that's the way they started the sport. If we sat down and we decided what to do with the sport now, would people think would people want that? Would they think that's a good idea? So, I don't know. It would be like at the end of a basketball game, you go to overtime, and all of a sudden, like, the coaches come out and they have to do a half court shot over their head. Like, it just seems ridiculous to me. At any rate, they are part of the group very often. You know, they really do kind of stick to themselves and do their own thing. And I was friends with a lot of them. They're nice guys. And, I mean, it's incredibly impressive what they're – it's literally easier to be a senator in the United States than it is to be a kicker. There's only 32 of them, you know. There's 100 senators. So I have a great appreciation for what those guys do. And I got to be honest with you, I almost always root for them to make it because – I know what it was like when I felt like I cost our team the game when I was with Dallas in 2002, and I didn't sleep all night. I mean, I didn't sleep all night thinking that if I had made a better block on that play, we would have won the game. And so for kickers to have that hanging over them, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, especially like the lower the level you go, but even the pros. So I was so happy for Tyler Bass that he made that. And I think that's probably how everybody else felt. I mean, they're happy for themselves that he made it because they won the game and they didn't have to go to overtime and the whole deal. So they're happy for themselves. But I think, you know, they know how the fans have felt about him. They know, you know, that it's been up and down. And so I think that they know how big that was for him as a human being and for his career to make that. And so I think that they're just thrilled for him. And, you know, what I always think is interesting after something like that is how much time does that buy him, right? Like, right. How many more misses can he have before they're like, okay, we got to move another direction? Because, you know, I don't know, but he was already kind of on thin ice, and you miss an extra point that could have been the difference in winning or losing that game. Could have been bad. Could have been really bad. I mean, he might have gone from cut to getting to being the hero within like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they had already had after, I think it was after the Jets game, because there were missed kicks on both sides in that Monday night game a few weeks ago. The Bills signed ahead, they had auditions, and they signed a kicker to the practice squad, but then midweek last week, they released that guy. And so here's Bass now, first game after that, and yeah, misses an extra point, stoinks another one off of the bar, but it got through. And, you know, luckily they made their two-point conversion to make up for it, too, because, you know, we ended up 27-27 before that final drive, and then he nails the big one, obviously. Do you think, I mean, have you known guys that would get a boost enough to, like, sort of put all their troubles behind them after making such a kick? Like, do you think he's in the clear now, emotionally, mentally, himself?
I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. And I think if they did, they'd be like a trillionaire, right? Like, to get into the psyche of any athlete, but especially them, you know what I'm always amazed by? And you guys could pull this up sometime. It is fascinating. Do you know the return on investment for drafted kickers is absolutely horrendous? It's so bizarre to me. Like, all of these people know that it's kind of a fungible position and that it's such a mental position that it can change drastically and you need to be very careful about, you know, the psyche of those guys. And yet sometimes these guys, they draft them in third, fourth round, fifth round. They go bad right away so often. It's unbelievable. Like, I would never, ever draft a guy just because it's just crazy, that Aguayo guy.
Yes.
Like it's wild how often that happens. Think about how much confidence these teams have to have in a kicker to draft them at all, let alone in the middle round, and say, because if you do that, you're saying, boy, this guy is going to be top 10 in the league right away, and we're going to save money because he's young, got a huge leg, because they go bad so often. And so my point, Bulldog, is like nobody knows, nobody has figured out, nor will they, I don't think, the psyche of these guys. Bass could go on now, and he could go and make the next 20, and that could, you know, that could have been great for his confidence or whatever. Or the next game, he could doink another extra point and then miss another one and be cut. You know, I mean, that's right. Why I think it's fascinating how long his leash is now, because, you know, they won't say this, but you miss an extra point and you stoink another one, that's a big red flag. Like, that's a real big red flag and very, very concerning. So I think the fact that he made that 61-yarder, man – because even if, like, that 61-yarder was way off, too, like, he could have been done this week.
With Ross Tucker, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. About 3 minutes left. I want to ask you about Washington, Ross. So 7-2 with Jaden Daniels, a franchise that's just done very little right in many years. I mean, I know you played there for a minute too. Maybe it's that long almost since Washington has been even this good. I wonder if you have a thought on how legit maybe you think they are. It seems like defense has gotten better and Daniels continues to thrive here.
I think they're very legit. Everybody I know that's ever met Dan Quinn or worked with him raves about him. I like him from my interactions with him. So that's a big part of it. But then, you know, we were just having a long talk about the psyche of kickers. I cannot overstate how different it makes every single person in the organization feel when you have a franchise quarterback and you know it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I played with some – the story I always tell is in Buffalo, we had Bledsoe, and he was good. So late in games, you know, we thought, you know, we were going to win. I played with some quarterbacks that were bad. And so late in games, you're like, oh, man, I hope this guy can get it done. But you're not really – thinking he's going to get it done or expecting it. Then I went to New England, and it's like the craziest thing ever. It almost doesn't matter what the score is or what the situation is. You don't think or hope or want anything. Like, you know you're going to win because you have the guy. You have Brady. And by the way, it's a huge reason why the Chiefs win all these close games, because they have the guy. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. But because they have him and because of the track record,
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They all expect good things to happen, and it's a huge, huge part of it. Huge part of it. And Buffalo has that with Josh, which is one of the reasons why the Bills have been so successful. I think the Commanders have that now. And they already had it with the great start he got off to, but now after the Hail Maryland, forget it. Forget it. I mean, now they believe that guy is going to come through for them in any situation. And when you get to that point, you are really cooking with gas, because that can elevate every other guy on the team. They made a big move today to get Marshawn Lattimore as a corner. And, you know, they're ahead of schedule. I think they thought they had a chance to be good next year, but he's better than even they thought he would be. They're better than even they thought he would be, than they would be. So they made a move now while he's on the first year of his rookie contract.
Sounds great.
I had not heard Hail Maryland.
Me neither.
Prior to just now.
Thank you
for bringing that to our show, Russ. I guess we weren't keeping up with the times.
Hail Maryland. Hail Maryland.
Works. Right.
Thank you, Ross. Enjoy the rest of your night and your week. Can you tell us what you've got this weekend for games?
I can, yeah. Just one this weekend. It's my last cable game. I think my last cable game for college. It is UNLV at Hawaii.
Oh.
So it's my second game in Hawaii. And everybody always thinks that sounds awesome, but I'm flying there Thursday night, flying back after the game Saturday night. So that's 24 hours of flying in like a 50-hour period, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm anticipating you still being kind of half-shot next Tuesday at this time when we talk to you.
Yes, I would imagine that the case. And then next Thursday, the week after, I'll have Commanders Eagles Westwood 1 Thursday night. And then I'll have a game Sunday in the booth for CBS. And I know what game that is, but I always wait for them to announce it because I think that they like to. So I will wait for that. But I can tell you about next week, because they'll definitely have announced it by next Tuesday at the latest.
It won't be Chiefs Bills. I'm guessing that's, you know, probably safe to say. I don't know. We'll see when we find out.
Yeah, no, it's they're bumping Romo out and putting me in with Nance for that one.
Cool.
No, that would be that. I forgot that's when that game is. Oh man, that's going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Thank you, Ross, for your time as always.
All right, see you guys.
All right, safe travels. That's our Odyssey NFL Insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious, and in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
We talked to Ross about his first trip this season to Hawaii. And he said some of the same things there, like just how little time there is to actually enjoy it. No offense to Ross, of course. Shouldn't there be somebody in Hawaii who could do those games? You know, right? I'll do it, right? I'm here in Hawaii. You're going to fly a guy from Pennsylvania and back in 2 days?
Yeah. At least get somebody from California.
At least somebody from California, right? Can there be somebody, all those islands, can there be one guy who maybe could just be like, I got it. I'm right here.
Right.
Save the money. I mean, it's a, how much does it cost to fly Ross to Hawaii twice a year?
I know how to say all the names and everything. Like, I'd be good. Yeah.
Good for him. 803-0550, Sabres and Senators tonight, pregame at 6 here on WGR.
Really a short-term try to free him up where he could maybe get a couple looks and then defensively doesn't have that big a responsibility. But I think as you saw in the Detroit game, we went right back to putting him back in the middle. When I look at the last couple games, his chances went up. He was in on two or three really good opportunities in Detroit. He was in on a 2-on-1 that you'd like to see our guys finish. It was just a quick look and he's back in the middle.
Lindy Ruff this morning with Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Check it out on the Odyssey app if you missed it.
Just a quick look. Now he's back in the middle. We lost two games. Couldn't score more than one goal in the second of those two. He's back in the middle. All right, good luck.
Very disappointing weekend. The Islanders, they lost two defensemen in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
That was pretty scary, though. The second, both of them, actually.
Yeah.
Puck to the face.
Yeah.
And then knocked out. The Greenway play on the boards. Clean, but tough to watch. The Sabres are 4-8 and host Ottawa tonight downtown. Pre-game coming up in less than half an hour. Paul Hamilton will join us then. It's funny. We talked to Alex Gold from Kansas City earlier, and right away he's like, why would your audience want to listen to me right now? Which, you know, fair point. I didn't think of that. I probably should think of that more often when booking guests. But I said it to him, though, like the Chiefs are our obsession. And the way this year is gone, it didn't have to still be that way, but it is. It's absolutely
sure
that way this year so far. And you have Kansas City last night, same old thing. A bit of a struggle, but they get it done in overtime.
I liked when I found out on, I guess it was Monday, that Alex was going to be on with us today. You know, not personal toward Alex or anything, but like, great, we're going to talk to the Chiefs guy. I hope they lose. Because, you know, that would be, to me, already sort of pre-gaming for the game a week from Sunday. Because I've been in here clamoring for just somebody beat the Chiefs. They're begging for it. Somebody get them so they can get here and I can tie them and thus pass them, at least for the time being, in the standings. And, you know, they still have a look at that. They host Denver on Sunday at 1 o'clock while the Bills will be playing in Indianapolis. And, I don't know. I guess I don't have to dislike Denver's chances any more than Tampa's. But as it turned out, despite being as depleted with skill guys out like Godwin and Mike Evans and even Jalen McMillan, who's like the next guy up, he was also hurt, couldn't play, they had such a great look at it, you know? And by that, I don't mean like they were ahead and they should have hung on to the lead. I mean, they're playing the Chiefs. But the Chiefs go up with, 4 minutes to go? And Tampa gets down the field like they got it back in the window, like we could do this. And so thinking, okay, you're go make it happen here. And the whole time in my head, who am I? I'm just a dude really wanting Kansas City to lose who lives in Buffalo. Like, get down there, run the clock down, get your touchdown, go for two, get on the plane, and get out of there, right? Like, this is going to work out perfectly for me in Buffalo. And they screwed up running the clock down and then didn't go for two anyways and lost a coin flip and lost a game. which, you know, I this is funny. This is, you know, fatigue. I was tired, but I said I would keep that game on as long as it was competitive. Yeah. And it obviously was competitive the whole time. You know when I turned it off? When they kicked the extra point.
That was the end of the game?
That was the end of the game to me. Like, you just did this. You got them. You're not going to get them again, even if you win the toss. You're not getting them again. I'm sorry. You're not.
You didn't watch overtime.
I did not watch overtime. I did not. I was so upset. I ended up not falling right asleep, of course, because you're mad. I should have just stayed up and watched, but that would have just prolonged the whole thing another 40 minutes or something. So I wanted to start the clock running towards actually going to sleep. Like, I don't need to see how this ends. It's going to be one drive.
You were right about that.
Yeah.
I just stayed up to see if there was some possible way Kansas City could cover the 9 in overtime. I couldn't think of a way they could do it. It could happen in college where you score first and then you have a fumble return for a touchdown or something. But these days, guys just go down. They know it's not right to run it all the way back. Can I just say, sort of the two-point idea, man, like, it just sounds these days like everybody is saying that, which I think is cool. I mean, for so long... That point, think about, like, how long ago really would you have been able to not get almost any pushback for, yeah, the Bucks down one, 30 seconds to go, of course you should go for two.
I probably pushed back on it 3 or 4 years ago, even.
And we don't know that they would make it.
Of course not.
You know, so there's a reason why they don't. But not that long ago, that would have seemed insane. And I mean, it's election day. People are kind of... frustrated, always focused on what isn't good, what isn't better about life in America. There's one. Now we know going for two it makes sense. And it was so bad. I mean, there were just so many pointless conversations over the years, or just the analysts who can't, well, I mean, he even had Troy Aikman last night saying they should, all in his way, not like definitively, but in his way. I can understand why. So, I mean, still count it.
Yeah.
You had, how many times would you have heard an announcer say words to the effect of, well, I wouldn't on the road, or, you know, somehow it's different whether you're playing at home or on the road. I mean, these kinds of things, ways of sort of kind of slipping out the side door of the take, you know, like, you could, but I wouldn't. And so it's not unanimous that people think they should have gone for two last night, but it's much more in that direction than not that many years ago, which I think is great. I mean, we've seen, I don't know, this has always kind of been my cause, this stuff, fourth down and everything. And the easy take, you know, when it came to all that stuff, in an era where coaches were just loath to it, they were always punting, they were never going for two, just never taking these kind of, quote, risks. I mean, it's not even really taking a risk when the odds are better doing what you're doing in terms of win probability. And the argument would always so often be like, well, why would you know? Why would anybody else know better than the coach would? You know? But we made it. You know, we proved that actually.
Right. The organizations have realized that people know better than the coaches in the moment on the field.
Yes. And now, I mean, I think Sean McDermott is one. They largely take those decisions away from him, away from coaches. I mean, I'm not sure that's always true with McDermott, and ultimately, he's going to be the one to
I'm sure he has final say, but yeah, he's got people telling him to throw the challenge flag and all that stuff, like every team does. They're like 50 coaches.
So we won, right? I mean, I guess, fourth down, 2 points, this kind of thing. It wasn't true that coaches knew better. The world kind of realized that the data supported the other thing, and for the most part, I think we have an NFL now that subscribes to that. And that's not a minor thing, you know? That's a sea change in strategy in this sport.
A part of the reason I keep mentioning the timeout, and there's defense for the timeout. You mentioned earlier that, you know, they would want to get the right play in to try to have a chance to tie the game. But sort of thinking about Bowles in that moment, I feel like a lot of football coaches, even with Jack Del Rio, when the Raiders had that weird one-off year where they won, If there's zeros on the clock, right, you tie. New England was in this situation against Tennessee, were they not? Like, they tied it on the last play of regulation.
Yes.
And Mayo, I never saw a follow-up. I'm sure it's been addressed. I just didn't see it. I know after the game, didn't want to say. He didn't want to get into why they didn't go for two. And I wondered, it's funny, on the heels of the Richardson thing from 2 weeks ago now, May ran around like crazy on that play to tie it. And I wonder if Mayo didn't want to say, like, I didn't want to line up to go for two because I think my quarterback was tired. But I think that might have been plausible in that scenario there. But again, you know, who knows?
About if he'd said, I didn't want to go for two because I didn't want to win the game?
Right.
We're trying to get better players in here,
I want to get a franchise left tackle for this quarterback next year, and I would like to do that at second overall. So I'm trying not to win. But Bulls, I feel like if they get that touchdown and they're down by 1 point and there's zeros on the clock, he goes, let's do it. Right? Like, forget the coin toss. Let's just go win the game right now. But there's 27 seconds. Like, I guess we'll kick. Like, I for some reason, I know that's broken logic, but I feel like the football coach that doesn't want to go for two in the first place would be more tempted if there were no time left. Like, I'm a cowboy over here. Get me my holsters. I gotta go to the corral to have a gunfight. I just feel like that would appeal to that guy. But when he took that time out, I'm like, oh, no. He's not going to do it.
Yeah, they called the timeout when they got to first and goal at the one. And I just think that was probably like get organized, personnel, how much time is really left here. So I don't think that myself that was so bad. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's easier to justify when this is the actual end of the game.
Right.
But really, what's going to happen, especially against Mahomes, what's going to happen in the 30 seconds or 30 to 40 seconds is only bad for you. He's not throwing a pick six to win you the game in those 30 seconds. It's only bad for you.
Right.
So go get the lead or not. It should be the same. Almost definitely, he's not going to hand you a turnover and you're going to beat him that way. Well, again with the Chiefs, it was close.
Could have really used it, Tampa. Thanks for nothing.
They're about the same favorite this week as that game. They were 9-point favorite last night, and it's 8.5 or so for their game Sunday at home against Denver. Bills down to 4. At BetMGM against Indianapolis, 4-46, so 25-21. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here with pregame for Sabre Senators coming up in less than 20 minutes here on WGR. Welcome back. Sabres pregame coming up with Paul Hamilton from KeyBank Center in about 10 minutes. Did you see the hot dog of the night sign?
I have not seen a visual on this. I heard Jeremy and Joe on our morning show talking about it, and it sounded like a hot dog I would want to eat once a month for the rest of my life until it killed me, because it probably would eventually kill me.
Well, something else will if you don't.
Right. There's brisket, there's poutine. Like it looked
fries.
Like
fries.
Pretty great job there.
Yeah, fries, that's poutine.
Right.
Yeah. Mushrooms and onions. Green onion. You want that?
Sure.
$15.50. Boom, there's a hot dog with a meal on it.
Yeah.
Alanis. It's named the Alanis.
Yes, I heard that as well.
Alanis Morissette is from Ottawa.
Sneaky Joe did not know who she was.
Really?
Yeah.
Jared
did
sense.
A good enough job. Like, he never started to sing any of the songs or hum the melodies or anything. He's like, you definitely would know a couple of these songs. There's just no way you wouldn't know a couple of these songs.
Ironic,
and I think you ought to know those are two massive hits. Like, Joe's a little kid.
Everybody knows Ironic, I think.
Yeah.
I think that song transcended.
I think so.
Because of the words.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And very few things she says are actually ironic.
Correct. Right.
So it's almost ironic within ironic. Like, it's ironic that those things are mentioned in the lyrics.
It is everything and anything that is ironic, is what that song is.
And not.
Right. All at once.
Somehow. It's that good.
Right.
So I was into her for a minute.
So I heard everybody was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was huge.
It's hardcore.
It was hooks. It was anger. It was good. It was good stuff. It was a great record. Jagged Little Pill.
Yep.
So anyway, that hot dog looks superior, I would say.
It's too much for me.
Yeah.
One of these times, I'm going to have one of these hot dogs. I'm in there end of the month for a game.
I think I could. I don't know. I might want to stand at one of the counters for that. I don't know that I want to get in my seat and be encumbered by the, you know, just
yeah, no, I'm not taking it in.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stand out there, and I think I can get by, but I think I want to be standing. That way the stuff can just tumble onto the, you know, the packaging.
There is this hockey game tonight, and I think there's something else in the news. The deep end, though, however, we will be podcasting tonight, Adam and I, for those not inclined to follow the hockey game or the election. If you just sort of, you know, I'll find out tomorrow.
Or in a week. I mean,
it might not be over tomorrow.
Right. I don't want to get my hopes up.
I'm going to listen to some fantasy football talk.
Yeah.
See what the Cowboys are going to do without Dak.
Is everything on the up and up with this deep end thing? No fraud? Everything's fine?
I mean, I don't think so. I think everything's fine.
Just want to make sure. It's, you know, it's one of the things to be secure and trustworthy.
We're trying to get these teams home, Bulldog.
Mm.
And it's hard. Crippling injuries, bad luck sometimes can really just demoralize you. But can't give up.
Yeah. Well, that's football.
That is fantasy football, at least. It's football and fantasy football. Tons of the receivers this year is the story. Like, you don't draft the old running backs because they're just probably going to get hurt. But they're all Derrick Henry, Mixon, Aaron Jones. Like, they're all fine and thriving. Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
But these receivers, like, so many of these guys have missed time. I mean, now you've got Lamb, maybe. London got hurt. Olave, another concussion. It just seems like every week,
the Tampa
receivers.
Guys, yeah, right.
Yeah, and there are a lot of others. That's right. Paul Hamilton starts off our pregame coverage, Sabres and Senators, after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.